If the book of Jonah finished, and if it was stopped at the chapter 3, I think Jonah would be recorded as the greatest evangelist who used one teaching, one preaching, and brought the 500,000 people to God. Isn't that cool resume? But Bible is not concerned about the man's resume. And the Lord knew the motive and the heart behind Jonah's preaching. And Bible is so honest that it shows everything about that person, including words. In this case, his ugly attitude. And it reveals the thoughts and the intent of Jonah's heart and exposed his sin. So, here it is. This runaway prophet was very much like a prodigal son in chapter 1. However, by the time we come to the chapter 4, he pretty much turned to the older brother of a prodigal son, who was a legalist, who was a nitpicking, and he did not have a joy in his heart. As I mentioned to you before, chapter 1, what do we see? Jonah was running away from God. This time, at chapter 2, he was running to God. And chapter 3, he was running with God. This time in chapter 4, we find him running against God. He must have a very stubborn heart and very hard head like we do. Is that you? You from Joji, right? Oh, it's not enough for God's servant to simply do master's will. How often we do things that God tells us to do reluctantly, without heart, without joy. We must do His will from our heart. The heart of every problem is the problem in the heart. Did you hear that? The heart of every problem is the problem in the heart. That's where Jonah's problem was to be found. The most remarkable thing is that God still dealt with him tenderly with this ungrateful prophet and sought to bring him back to the place of joy and fellowship like he would do with any of his children. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are so grateful that you are gracious and merciful God. The grace that we do not deserve, but we are getting from you. The mercy we deserve, but we are not getting. And you avoid the judgment that we deserve, and you erase it because the blood of Jesus Christ. You extend your mercy and grace to us, and cover us with your love. Father, we are asking you to speak to us tonight through your Holy Spirit, that we may have authentic Christian living, doing your work for your glory with all of our heart and mind and soul, that we may honor your holy name. Anoint your servant's heart and anoint the one who speaks. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 4, please, in Jonah. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. What was he angry at? Okay. God, people repented. Good. Verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. Would you put the number? A gracious one, number 2, merciful, and number 3, slow to anger, number 4, abundant in loving kindness. What would that be? What are those things? Attribute of God. Remember that, please. Attribute of God. And one more, one who relent from doing harm. That's number 5. Therefore now, the Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Stop there, please. What do you see here? He's whining. Okay. What else? He's back at angry with God. Okay. What else? Okay. He didn't want to be a messenger. Yeah, like a original plan. He didn't want to be a messenger. So he went back to the original concept. Okay. Do you see that Jonah preached the message of repentance of the people of Nineveh with his heart behind it? Okay. Do you remember any time you've done work of God with your heart not behind it? Okay, another question. Why did Jonah become angry? Very good. His want was not met. What was his want then? Exactly. Okay. Whom was he angry with? Angry at? God or the Ninevite? Probably both. Okay. Jonah didn't give his message because he cared about the people of Nineveh, but he was hoping that they would reject his message, not really repent, and God would send out his wrath upon them. And he was hoping that God would fry them extra crispy. Yes, sir? Okay. That brings another question to you guys. Is it because Jonah? Is it because someone else they repented? Yes. Huh? Spirit. Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I said this to a pastor who insisting that the quote-unquote big name pastors are important to have at the pastor's conference. I said, unless the Lord put the word in the man's mouth, there's nothing worth hearing. But he still insists the big name is important. Yeah. Remember what I said on Sunday morning about the Christian celebrity? It's not in the other denomination only. Within Calvary Chapel, there it's to the point so pathetic. Jonah himself called on the mercy of God while he was inside the belly of the great fish. But when he was delivered, he didn't remember the same mercy toward the people of Nineveh. Because what was the reason? Remember we talked about this in previous studies? He was such a nationalist. Only the Israel should are alive. Do you think that was the Jonah was the only person who thought that way? No, it was the majority, in a way, that's official Israel's foreign policy. They even, to the time of the Jesus, they said the heathens, what's the, another word? Gentiles, sorry. Green Bailey moment. Gentiles only good for to keep the hell's fire going. That's the concept of the people for other race. Alright, go to Luke chapter 6 verse 37 please. What if God treated Jonah the way that Jonah wanted God to treat the people of Nineveh? It wouldn't be a good thing, right? Luke chapter 6 37. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive, you will be forgiven. Backsliders and unbelievers would love to quote this portion, right? Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. And with the same measure that you use, you will be measured back to you. People don't want to quote that portion. Repentance and the salvation of the people of Nineveh are so painful to Jonah that he would rather die than witness. It's been said, we are most like a beast when we kill. We are most like man when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive. For a second time in the Jonah's book of Jonah, we find him praying. When was the first time he prayed? In the fish belly, right? He prayed that he prayed the best prayer in the most horrible place. But he prayed the most horrible prayer in the best place where the salvation is happening. First prayer came from the broken heart. Second prayer came from the angry heart. In first prayer, he asked God to save him, but in second prayer, asked God to take his life. Once again, Jonah would rather die than not have his own way. Remember first time he didn't get his way, so what did he do? Ran. In other words, he said, I quit. I'm going for the non-profit status from now on. Some people didn't get it. Never mind. As you can see, Jonah might know some of the attribute of God. Remember, I've asked you to put the number on 1 through 5. That's the attribute, but he didn't realize how sovereign God works. And another thing that he was concerned about is his reputation. He doesn't want to be known as the one who saved his enemies' lives, whether it's in the Israel or out here. God like to ask questions to us because they reveal our hearts. They reveal our hearts. And I list some of them in the Bible. Where are you? Who told you that you were naked? What is this you have done? Genesis 3. Whom was he talking to? Adam and Eve, right? And chapter 4. Where is your brother Abel? What have you done? Cain. And then 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 11. What have you done? Who is talking to whom? Huh? Samuel talking to Saul. Because Saul did not wait for him to sacrifice. He made his own sacrifice. He was acting up as priest. Next question, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? Who was talking to whom? One more phrase, then probably you guys don't remember. You are the man. David. Nathan, prophet Nathan speaking to the King David after the adultery. Isaiah 6. This is a rhetorical question God's asking. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And what was the answer from Isaiah? Here am I, send me. And then Jesus asking to the disciples in Matthew 16, who do you say that I am? You guys know this, right? Matthew 20 verse 32, what do you want me to do for you? Do you remember the occasion? Excellent counselor. Hey, Chris, give a raise. Luke chapter 22, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? You guys know this, right? Yep. And Acts chapter 9, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Talking to who? Saul of Tarsus, Paul, exactly. Alright, now here's a $1 million question. Have you ever been angry with God? Angry at God? You mean today?
Yes.
Don't lie. All of us have been. You're in the church sanctuaries. You shouldn't not lie in here. Okay. If we are angry at God, He will ask us the same question He asked Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? And the answer, our answer must always be, no, Lord, all your ways are right, even if I don't understand them. All right, go down to the verse 5, please. Now we're going to see the object lesson for Jonah. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head and to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned, the next day God prepared a worm. So it damaged the plant and that it withered. And it happened when the sun rose, God prepared a vehement east wind and sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Okay. Why did he sit on the east side of the city and made the shelter for himself? Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. He's sulking. He was sitting in front row of the city, so he can enjoy the burning sulfur coming down upon them. He was hoping the repentance of the Ninevite would not last long. He went out of the city for his own safety and made himself the front row seat to see the God's wrath against the Ninevites. The plant that the Lord prepared for the Jonah, is that a real plant? It's not an allegorical that represents something? Come on, talk to me. Huh? Is it a real plant? Yes, no. Okay, it is. I'm just testing. There are a lot of Bible teachers try to bring the allegorical interpretation. Don't fall for it. When the literal interpretation makes sense, don't go any further than that. Remember that was one of the teaching that I did when we studied the inductive Bible study? When the literal interpretation makes sense, don't go any further. Okay? Inside. So far, three chapters we study are easy to tackle, easy to understand. But this chapter 4 deals with the human emotion a whole lot more, and peeling the layers of human emotion from the Jonah's character. But we can all understand because we went through just about like this often. So I'm going to ask you to do something you already have on your sermon outline note. I don't want you to speak out this time. I want you to write it down, the answer. What makes me happy with the Lord, you individually? What makes you happy with the Lord? Write it down. Do you want me to give you about 40 minutes? Second question. What makes me angry at the Lord? Probably this takes a longer time, right? Third question. What makes me want to give up in my Christian walk? Very personal, isn't it? Huh? Okay. You don't need to say anything about this one. This is rather personal, so keep it to yourself and learn from your own answer. Alright, we will move on. The Lord was giving Jonah an object lesson here. Hold on. Where am I? Okay, sorry, I'm behind with the slide. Jonah was a double-minded man, unstable in all his way, as the book of James said. Example. One minute he was preaching the God's word, the next minute he was disobeying it and fleeing his duty post. That's chapter 1. While inside the great fish, he prayed to be delivered. Now he asked the Lord to kill him because the Lord was delivering his enemies from their eternal death. He called the city to repent, but he himself would not repent. And he was more concerned about the creature comfort than he was about winning the lost. The great fish, Ninevite, the plant, the worm, and the wind have all obeyed God. But this ungrateful prophet still refused to obey, and he has most to gain. Okay, another question. Another annoying question. Can a godly person go from being godly to being selfish in no time? Yes, any one of us can be in that situation. Whenever we discard God's perspective for our sins and ramification of our selfishness, it happens. Sometimes I feel like a Janus. You know what the Janus is? Yeah. It spells J-A-N-U-S. It's a Greek. Janus or Janus, it actually is. Huh? No, I'm not sleeping. One side is a smiling face. The other side is a crying face. As they turn their face, they come up with a different expression. Yeah. Yeah. It's a mask. It's one side is a smiling face. The other side is a crying face. In Janus, just turn it. We go from happy moment, something happened to us, and we are just devastated, and we are crying against God. Don't we do that? Or schizophrenia. Here's a man who survived 3 days and 3 nights in the fish's stomach. A man who repented, prayed, and preach the truth to the people of Nineveh, a man whom God used to bring about the spiritual awakening, yet he fell into sin again. It's a reminder that no matter how long we have known the Lord, we can still mess up. No matter how long we have known the Lord, we still may need to be revived again. Mark, I forgot his name. Help me out, Karen. Calvary Community Church up in Mark Martin. He has a big church up, big Calvary church in Phoenix. Thank you, Karen. Mark Martin asked one of his elders, who is about 9 years old, godly man. He asked him, when does this struggle stop? He smiled and said, never. It's because of disheartening, isn't it? Maybe we should come to the, maybe we're thinking that we will come to the spiritual maturity plateau and there will be a home free. Not happening. As long as we have this carnal body, it will continue. Verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about plant? He said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. Can you imagine, picture Jonah with the bottom lip sticking out and angry at God? Verse 10. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Okay. Which word come to your mind after you read this portion of the scripture? Out loud. Okay? Chris? Jonah is not appreciating? Okay. Out loud. Good. Good point. Very good. What else? Anything else? God's compassion failed not. His mercy anew every morning. Right? From Lamentation. Go back to verse 11, please. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern from, discern between their right hand and left hand and much livestock? I read the commentary. One commentator said, these are the children who cannot tell the different right hand or left hand. I take it differently. In Israel, you don't do any bad thing with the right hand. It's not just Israel, Eastern custom. That's why if you're Southpaw and you were born in the Middle Eastern, you're half devil. Little, I'm not joking. Southpaw, that's why they smack your hand. If you use the left hand, they smack your hand. And because somehow in their mind, left hand's a bad thing. Right hand doing good things. When God said, cannot discern between right hand and left hand, they are the people, even the grown-up, who cannot tell the difference of doing good, supposed to doing good and bad things. These are the adults. That's my take. But I could be wrong. Yes, sir. Slapping their hands. Yes, ma'am. Very good. Okay. Somebody else here? Yes. I don't know what you have in mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let me ask you another question. Is Jonah righteous or unrighteous? Unrighteous here. Yes, no. Righteous, unrighteous. Unrighteous. Okay. That brings to the next point. Unrighteous anger. I'm really behind. Unrighteous anger feed the ego and produce a poison of selfishness in the heart. When God asks us question, is it because he doesn't know? Yes. For who to know? Yes. Like a first question is, where are you? He's asking to Adam. Is it because God is really does not know and he's playing hide and seek? Giving him and her opportunity to repent. That's why the Lord is a slow to anger, abundant in love. We can be quick to say that Jonah is wrong. Okay, here's another question that we should ask. What about us? When we know how much we have been forgiven by God, how can we not forgive those who offend us? Wise men gave us a definition of a forgiveness. This is what I found. I really like this. Forgiveness is a surrendering my right to hurt you for hurting me. Isn't that good? Okay, as soon as you finish writing, I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. No, don't bow your head. Just close your eyes. Think about this as I'm asking you another question. Do you have someone in your heart who offended you before and you don't want to forgive that person? Did you notice that I didn't say the person whom you cannot forgive, but I rather used the word you don't want to forgive? Okay, you may open your eyes. Did you think about that person? As a believer of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is mandatory. But I'm going to caution you, restoration is an option. It depends on each situation. Let's say husband cheated on her. Does she have to forgive him? Yes. Does she have to put him back as a husband? There's no mandatory. That's why, remember, Pharisees asked Jesus, and Jesus said, Moses taught you the right of the divorce. I'm paraphrasing, because adultery is a very personal thing. If we don't forgive other people, mark my word, we become bitter, short-tempered, and nasty person to be around. Contrary to Jonah, there is one person who wept over when he saw a city. As he was coming over the Mount Olive, he saw the city of Jerusalem. He wept over that city. That's Jesus, as you guys said. I'm going to make a comparison. Jonah preached the message of judgment, but Jesus preached the message of grace and salvation. Did Jonah preach the wrong message? Did Jonah preach the wrong message? No, he preached exactly what God told him to preach. He just did not put his heart behind it. Second thing, Jonah almost died for his own sin, but Jesus willingly died for the sins of the world. Third point, Jonah's ministry was to only one city, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. Fourth point, Jonah's obedience was not from the heart, but Jesus always did whatever pleased his Father from his heart. Can I change the slide? Fifth point, Jonah did not love the people he came to save. Jesus had a compassion for the sinners and proved his love by dying for them on the cross. Sixth, final point, Jonah waited outside of the city to see if God would kill those who would not forgive. But on the cross outside of the city, Jesus asked God to forgive those who killed him. Okay, this is my speculation. Since the author of this book is Jonah, I get the feeling that I can safely say that he repented after the conversation with God. He went back into the city and took care of those Ninevites. For 60 years, they served God of Israel, and they turned right back to the where they were, violent people, and God destroyed them. The real issue is not how Jonah answered God's question. The real issue is how you and I today answer God's question. Here are my questions. Do we agree with God that people without Christ are lost? Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay. According to Joel Osteen, he's not so sure about it. Next question. Like God, do we have a compassion for those who are lost? Do we? We should, right? Sometimes when I watch the 6 o'clock news, I don't feel like I have a whole lot of compassion on certain type of people. I'm not so sure about them. You know why though? Because he knows better. He's leading many people to hell. Oh, you think? Do we pray that the gospel will go to the people in every part of Sahorita, Green Valley, Corona de Tucson, Rio Rico, and the world? Are we willing to be a part of that process to spread the good news of Jesus Christ? As a matter of fact, eventually I'm going to make an announcement, but since you guys, the core group, we stopped supporting the missionary in Brazil because he does not report to us what's going on. We go from year to year. 1 year, there's no written contract, but we support missionary group for a year, and then we renew. We choose to renew or we choose not to renew. We drop the two missionary organizations. Actually, two or three. No, four. And we dropped another one, the Brazil missionary, because he, it's such an effort to get anything out of him. And we got the young man who is going to go to the one of those stand. Gesundheit. Okay. Gesundheit. Anyway, he's going to go there to, with the purifying water process. That's the outside story. He's going in there as an engineer, but in what he's going to do after he fixed their water system, he's going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And one condition that we gave to him is that you keep us informed. If you don't, we'll drop you too. We'll see what happens. So what is our question? What is our answer? Are we willing to be a part of the process and help them? Okay. Do we rejoice when the sinners repent and trust the Savior? Are you willing to help them? Even if it takes a time? Even if it takes money? Like picking up that person a little bit out of your way so that person can come to Christ, come to church? Then you have a problem. We can tell him to pick him up. Sure. Mm-hmm. You mean that person, if that person cannot communicate with us? Is that what it is? We will help whoever we can help. We don't have a, yeah. If God is calling you, let me put it this way. Before I became a pastor, it's one of those burning desires that will not quench. I mean, my mind was not running to any other direction. It's zero to the one area. I want to be a pastor. And that's my call is. That's all I could think about. Before, I want to be the graphic manager. I want to be in the building up my career. All of that was taken away. If God is calling you to be a missionary, you get to have one focus in that thing. And the young man whom I just told you about, that's all he can think about. And guess who's standing in the way? His Christian family. Okay, all of these questions and more wrapped in the gospel, in what God asked Jonah. We cannot answer for him, but we can answer for the same question to ourselves, right? All right, three. Before I give my own application. All right, give me the applications. Your own applications. Don't look at what I wrote there. No, don't read what I wrote. Come up with your own applications. Suzanne, don't cheat. Come on. What is your own application? Arlene, okay. Would you do one more time out loud? Very good. Anyone else? Do one more time, please. Good. Okay. Manny? No. Good point. What else? Anyone else? All of us need to remember that, right? Slow to anger. No temper tantrum. Yes. don't fly off the handle right now. The key of what she said is open heart. If it doesn't fit with our agenda, we try to shut it down. We try to come up with an excuse, especially a lame excuse. Yeah. And then it's trying to say, Lord, you're breaking up. Alright, my application here. It is our choice to accept the will of God that is backed by His sovereignty, or refuse it and then face the consequences. If the Lord still put people in the fish's stomach, there'll be a lot of us in the fish's stomach. Second application that I came up with is we need to remember that salvation belongs to our God. Oh, sorry, my bad. Yeah. Third point. God's forgiveness is not only for our own sin against Him, but also it is our model so that we can extend this forgiveness to who? Others. Okay, I'm done. We finished the book of Jonah. Huh? More? We will do the Psalm 98 through 101. And then following, what's the next book we are going to study? 1 Samuel.